Again, I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to bring to you the conclusion of a study we started in our last program. We looked at, for instance, Hebrews 12 and verse 27, that those things which cannot be shaken might remain. What are the things that will remain? And I spoke with you about the throne of God that cannot be shaken. I shared with you the Word of God that cannot be shaken. And now I want to talk to you about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that can never be shaken. It's a very important thing to understand what the church is. The church is not a cathedral nor a beautiful building that we have managed to put together by man's hands. The church is the heart of a man or woman that has changed from sin into cleansing. It is the heart of men and women who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him and know that he ever lives and he is their biggest and greatest friend, the friend who never changes. And I want to share with you that the church is very, very strong. Now, it's not the building and it's not the denomination, sad to relate. But the Word of God teaches us that the heart of man has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is that person that has a heart for God, that has repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that man, that woman, that person who has come close to the Lord Jesus, they are assured that the church in them cannot be shaken out. Now, there's also prophecies that cannot be shaken. And I need to share that with you because scoffing at the Word of God just fulfills it. We read in 2 Peter 3 and verses 3 and 4 how it is that in the last days there are scoffers of the Word of God. There are people who do not believe the Word of God. And it may sound as if I come from the Bible Belt and most likely I could fit there. But I'm telling you this with all the enthusiasm of my soul. The Word of God cannot be changed. And we cannot live outside the Word of God. And we literally need to understand that we shall see every prophecy fulfilled. The Word of God is everything to man. I know it doesn't fit the political agenda of today. It doesn't fit the knowledge of people today. I know all of those things, but I also know that it is life, and those that receive it have life eternal. So let's go to Matthew 16 and have a look at verse 18. For Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to Peter. Perhaps I better back up a little bit. Jesus has said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18, I want you to remember, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," speaking of Peter, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And of course, they could not stop telling people that they had met Jesus the Christ. But that's beside the point. The point I'm making right now is that upon this rock I will build, listen, my church. You do not have a church if you say this is my church. You have a church that you belong to as a fellowship. And that fellowship is a grand fellowship if everybody in it loves the Word of God. There's no other foundation for this church. We should try to remember this. The church of the Lord Jesus has only one foundation, and there is no other at all. And though there are people that say they belong to all sorts of strange-sounding churches, they really don't have a handle on the Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Paul is talking about the fact that the church has no building, but we are God's building, he says. We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. And then he comes down to this verse 11, where he says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church that lives in your heart. If you've put your trust in him, you're the church where Jesus lives. The church cannot be touched. Oh, people can take your life away, your physical life, that's for sure. And oh, yes, you may do all sorts of things and walk away from this Lord Jesus. But Jesus, he doesn't say, "You will never leave me." He says, "I will never leave you." What is impossible with man is possible with Jesus, because he says, "I will never leave you." Now, I don't know how many weddings I've conducted over the years, several hundred, I suppose. We come in a wedding ceremony to the place where the pastor says to the bride and to the groom separately, "Do you take this man, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded husband or wife? Will you live together after God's ordinance and the holy estate of matrimony?" And then he ends up, "Until death do you part." And when you're in love and you're young and you're feeling all wobbly and gooey and looking at one another with simpering love, you look into the eyes of each other, and it's easy to say, "I will keep such a promise." When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are asked, usually by pastors, "Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ?" Now, notice the word "accept." Do I accept him? Some people mispronounce that and they say "accept." You may think I'm pedantic, but we say, "Accept ye believe, accept ye stop this sinning, accept you put your trust in." And we say "accept." That's not what is being asked. Will you accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? And if so, will you accept that he will never divorce you? He will never go back on his word. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, even in ignorance, if you have accepted him, you find that the visible church cannot be shaken, but the mystical church cannot be touched. And you will find it is secure and permanent and abiding. You see, it's a fact that you and I will see many of the churches and cathedrals crumble under all sorts of devastating bombings, crashings, bashings, earthquakes, and whatnot. It is possible we may see that. It is very possible it will happen anyway, whether we see it or not. But the church of the Lord Jesus, if I'm belonging to Jesus, and Jesus is belonging to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, why, I have life, and that life is indestructible. Jesus said this, he said, "I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him who, after the body has been killed or died, can cast the soul into hell." That's the one you should fear. Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one who can cast into hell. Now, there's only one that can do that, and that's God the Father. And the Godhead can send people to a lost eternity very quickly, in the blinking of an eye. But God has set parameters around us, and he, for instance, says to the rich man, as I've mentioned not long ago in one of these programs, Lazarus cannot come to you, and you cannot come to Lazarus. You are in torment, and he is in peace. And the reason he's in peace, he received me, and I have received him, and I've cuddled him into my bosom. And so we have the bosom of Abraham being expressed, and the man is lost, and he's saying, oh, can he please come out of heaven over here into hell, and on his way dip his finger into a little bowl of water and touch the tip of my tongue. That's all I'm asking, this tiny thing, just to relieve the torment of my soul for a little moment. And God says, no, between thee and me, between you and us, there is a great gulf fixed. You have been cast into lost eternity. He has been cast into a found eternity, an eternity that is forever his, the church. The church is made up of people that believe on the Lord Jesus. Now, having said that, it leads into the very last thing I want to say to you, and that is the child of God can never be shaken. I know there are things that happen to us, and I suppose I've had my share of things that have been very disappointing, but that's not where I want to go. Where I want to go is found in 1 Peter 1:23, where I read this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Notice Peter is expressing what I have just said, or I have just said what Peter was expressing. And he was saying it's absolutely essential that we believe that the child of God doesn't get shaken. When your trust is in the Lord Jesus, circumstances will change abruptly and often. You may be thinking, I am following the will of God. And then you find that even amongst Christians you could have enemies. And that tears you apart. How is it possible? But there are jealousies and envies. There is malice and all that sort of thing. And it does happen. People in churches find that there is this amalgamation of people who love the Lord and yet they don't live for the Lord, and they haven't conquered the viciousness of their tongue, and they haven't conquered the hardness of their hearts. In fact, some of them have hearts that are hardening now after years of being in the Lord's work. I've met so many people like this over the years, and it's always discouraged me and frightened me. I've run to the Lord many times saying, why, Lord, why? It's the only time I think I ever ask why. Because if you're born again and cleansed in the blood, why is it that we can suffer such ridiculous sinfulness in our lives? It's not right. If you go into the book of Proverbs, it's full of pithy sayings of how to avoid denying the presence of God in your life. A man should be very careful how he walks before God. Well, the scripture tells us more in the 10th chapter of John and verses 28 and 29. Jesus saying, nobody can pluck these people out of my hand. No one can take them from me. My Father is involved in catching these people and holding these people. The apostle is most emphatic when he writes down that Jesus said, none can take them out of my hand. I don't know how you can come not to believe this, but it's time for all of us to start shaking up our thinking and starting to believe it. We cannot move away from Jesus because Jesus is ever in our presence, and he pulls us into his presence, and he holds us with a mighty hand. I thank God that I cannot be removed by Satan or circumstance. I am his forever and forever. If I go into Romans 8 and verses 38 through 39, I read this: I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. This is where the apostle stands. He says, I don't care what circumstances come my way, and I make mistakes. But God never makes a mistake. God holds me, and nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Do you catch those words? There's nothing that can separate us. There's nothing that can do anything to separate us, nor height nor depth. Where's heaven? How many miles into the stratosphere? How many miles into the ionosphere? How many miles into space do we have to travel to find heaven? It was said that Yuri Gagarin, who was the first Sputnik to go up into space, he said, I look around in space and I see no God up here. The foolish man had only to take one step outside his capsule and he'd have found God. Can we be separated from God? No. Can we be separated from the Lord Jesus in whom we have put trust? No. And that's the whole point of being a Christian. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. And God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will hold me. He will keep me. King David made some terrible mistakes. He had an eye for the girls, and the girls had an eye for him. And it was pretty hot stuff, if you read the scriptures. He could hardly deny himself. Yet he found that when he had sinned and offended God a great deal, that all he had to do was to come running back and cast himself before God. And God not only heard his voice, but he listened to him and had compassion upon him. Have you been there? It's likely you have. Let's just turn for a moment into the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 17. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. Isn't it precious that we have this remarkable thing going on? God has such compassion, such loving kindness, such tender mercy, such overwhelming grace. I have the unmerited favor of God, which is the grace of God, expressed toward me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, saw my predicament and died for me. It's so precious. And if I go into the first epistle of Timothy, and I find verse 12, I read this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I know that there are many men. A young man in the ministry came into our house one day. We'd only been in the town a short time. We hardly knew the fellow. We only knew him by name, really. And he came into the kitchen and he burst into tears. My wife signaled to the children, and the children were pretty remarkable, really. They just moved out of the way quickly. All of a sudden, he said, I'm frightened to die. I think I might. And this man was in his 40s and he was frightened to die. And he had some children and he couldn't face the fact that he was going to die. We all die in the flesh. The flesh dies and is done away with. But we need to understand some teaching. And in the first epistle of John, I take you there for a moment and ask you to look at chapter 3 and verse 10, where the apostle writes, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." He goes on to talk about Cain and how he couldn't love his brother. And he says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Notice this carefully. We're rejoicing that in this shaky world we are steadfast, we are unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. There is a verse that I'd like to leave with you that comes from an old hymn. We sang it when I was a boy, and it goes this way: "The soul that on Jesus has learned to repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." And this is the Lord Jesus, as it were, speaking at this time and saying, this is what we're going to do. Everything that a child of the King has is secure. It is permanent. It cannot be shaken. And I want to leave with you today the preciousness of these thoughts, because all around us is so temporary. Here is a young man recently that I buried, just in his early 50s, same age as one of my children. He died. Yet when you looked at the list of things that were wrong with him, you couldn't ask the Lord, really, to leave him on this earth. But he died, and the dying was a horrible dying, and it was horrible for him to go through the experience of death. Yet the Lord took him and carried him, and he knew nothing of the agonies that he otherwise would have suffered. For when they took him off the various machines that were there, why, he just slipped into eternity. A child, a little child. This is one place I used to try not to have to visit when I was in full-time work as a pastor, and that is a children's hospital. And you see these darling children, their heads look as if they've been shaved, but cancer has taken the hair off their heads. And the poor little ones hardly know what's going on around them. In fact, I don't think they do know most of the things. But they suffer so quietly and gently. It seems a dreadful thing that such lovely little ones have to suffer so much. There are diseases today that are floating around that we never heard of years ago. We are discovering new diseases. One day, doctor friend of mine, who was English as well, he came running. His office was near our church, and he came running over and he said, "Oh, look at this. We have just discovered something enormously important." And I looked at him, and I thought he was a bit crazy. I said, "Well, whatever is it?" He said, "We've discovered a new gas in blood." And I looked at him. I thought he was nuts. Why would he be so excited to find a new gas in blood? I didn't know there was a gas in blood, never mind a new one. And it's just been discovered, he said. He was elated to discover this wonderful new thinking. I just laughed. He said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "Well, I can tell you of a greater discovery than that." And I hoped that somehow the word of God penetrated his skull, because he died when he was only 56. People, we're discovering, have diseases that they never thought of, we never imagined a few years ago. And with all the discoveries we've been able to expose, now we find we have only scratched the surface. Dear ones, listen to me carefully. Saints for Jesus, everything that is shaky in this world is there, but the things that cannot be shaken, God's throne, God's word, precious, precious is this, his prophecies, his power, his promises. The church can never be shaken, for it's written on the fleshy tablet of your heart. And the child of God can never be shaken, because we're alive in him and dependent upon him, not on the things of this world. Well, there's some thoughts for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will hear our voice. Receive us into your presence carefully and exactly. Bring us to that place this day where we trust you absolutely. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hey, thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless and keep you. And I hope to see you at the next program. Bye-bye. God bless you.